Hello and welcome to Hanalyze This, the self-help podcast that just can't help itself. I'm your host, Hannah Hart, and today I will be talking with the one, the only Ella Hart, my wife. Today we're going to be talking about self-esteem and the importance of flexibility and failure. Enjoy! Oh, hello, honey.
Oh, hello.
Oh, my goodness. It's my wife. Hi.
Hello.
Wow. Thanks so much for being here on this week of Hanalyze This. I grabbed you on your lunch break.
Well, you know I love to be here.
I do. And I know also, apparently, that you love me, which is true?
Yes, of course. I can't believe we're still having this conversation.
I know. No, you we're married. We're in love. We've been through it all. But you know, I just fundamentally, it just something. I'm getting there. But I believe it more and more each day. I believe it more in all the fibers of my being. But
I hope so.
Yeah, that's just my struggle, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that actually goes into right with what I wanted to talk about today, which is
how much you love me.
Yes. Well, on top of that, you know, Mama Ru always says, if you can't love yourself, how the hell you gonna love somebody else?
Ain't that just the way?
Ain't that just.
Well, what is it specifically that you wanted to...
Oh, well, I wanted to talk about self-esteem and where that comes from and how that comes to play in our lives.
Wow. Yeah. You're right. And I'm acting as if this is an epiphany, but I do know that in our relationship, my low self-esteem and low self-worth comes up a lot. So, yeah, let's talk about self-esteem.
let's dive right in.
Let's do it, you know? Let's go straight into it. What does the word esteem mean? Okay, if we think about the origins of the word esteem, like when you think of someone, when you think of esteem, you think of like to hold someone in high regard.
Right, yes.
So self-esteem is like the regard in which you hold yourself?
Yeah, I would think so.
Oh, okay. Looking up the word esteem, it's respect and admiration. Respect and admiration.
Wow. Both great things. Yeah. So I would assume that self-esteem is self-respect and self-love.
Self-admiration. Is that safe to admire yourself?
Oh, 100%.
Really?
It's absolutely necessary, I feel.
How do I know that self-admiration isn't... You know, I think children of narcissists have a hard time with self, you know, because I'm right. Like, well, if I hold myself with self-admiration, won't I just start hurting everyone?
Well, no, not necessarily.
That's the lie.
Yeah. I mean, you can love yourself and love other people and understand what that means and how they relate to each other, you know? Because love isn't control.
Love is not control.
No.
Wow, yeah.
So if you love yourself, you're not trying to necessarily control yourself. And if you love other people, you can't control other people. It's not possible.
But what if I need to control myself because I'm so dangerous and bad?
Oh my gosh.
Well, no. Well, I mean, these sound like big terms, but on the day-to-day, you know. Right. I mean, we took a walk this morning, and I think one of my ghosts got hold of me, I think, towards the end of it, right? Yeah. And that withdrawal and isolation on the outside, like just shutting down.
Right.
It's like I'm not doing it because I don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it because I don't trust myself.
Well, and that's good self-knowledge. And I think that the older you get, the more you learn to trust yourself and your own capabilities. And I think that that type of relationship with yourself only gets better with time. Because when you're a kid, you trust your parents and they should model that for you.
And if you don't have that model, you become it.
Exactly.
Like by watching TV and seeing superheroes and Sailor Moon and fighting for love and justice.
True. And you find ways.
You find ways. I mean, humans are so adaptable. It's not like kids are so resilient or strong.
No.
No, but they adapt.
They adapt. And they're strong.
And they're strong. But, you know, we give so much credit to strength. I really think it's the ability to source survival, the ability mm-hmm. to adapt in whatever way. And I for me, that was like the idea, like, you know, heroes, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, now as an adult, I find myself loving heroes again.
Aw, I like that.
I think it's helping me like myself more.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're a kid, you obviously make mistakes. Like, example that I always like to bring up is my brother growing up was the type of person who needed to learn himself. You know, like, we could tell him, don't touch the stove because it's hot. And he needed to, like, figure that out himself. There's some people that are like that. And he touched the stove, burned his hand.
Yeah.
Did he ever touch a stove again? No. But it's that process. Then you learn to trust yourself also through experiences.
Yeah. But I think he's only gotten in a fight with a bouncer once.
No comment.
No comment.
But at the same time, like, that goes hand in hand. So learning to trust through experience, and then learning to trust through what's modeled to you as a young child. And then you kind of form from your own opinion after that.
Did you ever struggle with self-esteem?
So as a very young child, no, I didn't struggle with self-esteem. I think I only struggled with self-esteem in high school as things became more difficult with my dyslexia and doing, like, certain types of math problems or standardized tests.
Yeah.
Or
boy kissing.
That, I always felt cute. I had strong self-esteem because I grew up in a very, very non-judgmental environment, which is very lucky, because if you don't see judgment and people aren't being judged or picked on, you don't question yourself or your actions as much, you know? So, like, if it was a very kind of be free and be creative and be who you are environment, and that really lended to my self-esteem.
It's kind of amazing because we talk so much about the environment that each of us grew up in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we've got these really kind of funny, differing parallels.
Yeah,
you know,
completely
graphs going in different directions.
Different.
But what is amazing, I suppose, is that this is what I'm trying to say. I feel like being non-judgmental is what's natural.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
Yeah, and institutionally, we are taught judgment as a form of power,
right?
You know,
I would agree with that. Yeah. And so, I mean, the experience of, like, having that non-judgment environment in school was very helpful for me in terms of my confidence to speak and to speak up and to participate in groups. And that just only continued to add to my confidence level, knowing that, like, I could speak and people would listen to me felt really good.
Do you feel like confidence and self-esteem are the same, or, you know?
I feel like they're definitely overlapping. Mm. I think you can fake confidence, and then self-esteem is something that you, like, truly feel.
Did any of your friends, or do you struggle with self-esteem? I mean, you mentioned your brother. Did he struggle with his self-esteem?
I think so, totally. Yeah, he had a different experience than me. He was picked on. He was situations with, like, clicky boys and stuff like that.
It's hard to be a sensitive boy in this world.
It is hard, yeah.
And it's hard to be a powerful girl in this world. Mm-hmm. Or not powerful, but, like, a self-assured.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I guess I wonder if it's a gender thing, too. Because aside from, like, straight up, you know, the neglect and the abuse, outside the home, I was labeled a lot, like right. tomboy, this, that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like your perceptions start to get all out of whack.
Right. Right. So do you feel that that labeling negatively affected you?
Yes, I do. Because my parents were really afraid of me thinking I was a boy.
Oh.
And both my mom and my dad. And at the time, I remember being like, what are you guys doing? Like, what right. is happening?
Right.
Like, what?
Right.
Because it's so bizarre when you're so young to have these assertions kind of like thrown at you. Like, I think there's nothing more natural in the world than all little children wanting to be shirtless.
Right.
Nobody wants to wear a shirt.
I loved wearing boys' swimming trunks and swimming shirtless. It's very freeing.
It feels amazing to be in the water. And like, I think when... It wasn't until like we started hanging out with our cousins, with my dad sometimes in the summer, that the assertion of, I guess,
gender.
Yeah, gender, and it was like both my mother and my father took my existence as mm-hmm. a presentation of their parenting.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And 100%. I think all parents kind of do, right?
I mean, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, unless...
But my mom really felt that way as well.
She did?
But 100%, yeah. 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 And, you know, I think it adds pressure, for sure, to when you feel like you're a representation of someone else's life. But I, for whatever reason, did not care.
Yeah.
I was like, this is my life. From like a young age. And I was very, very combative with people that tried to kind of like tell me how to live my life.
Protective.
Yeah, protective, yeah.
You know, it's amazing though, babe. I will say that the adult Ella who sits across from me,
mm-hmm.
Like in our relationship, we've grown so much because I feel like in the beginning, I would be like, this is my need. And you'd be like, well, too bad for you. Yeah. I'm Ella. live free or die. You know? But now in our relationship, functionally, like, I think we both can see, like, someone else's needs don't have anything. Like, they don't right. impact your identity.
Totally.
And if their need, quote unquote, is impacting your identity, well, that's actually not the type of dynamic you're looking for.
Yeah, it just...
In a negative way, impacting your identity in a negative way.
Yeah, I really learned this when I worked on boundaries and I was in a boundaries group, which was like a therapy group where we only talked about boundaries. It was really fun for you therapy nerds out there.
You're in the right place, babe. I think we're all pseudo-therapy nerds.
And we talked about how, you know, boundaries are flexible. And that was such like a very kind of light bulb moment for me because I was like, right, of course. I can make a decision one day that feels good for me, and then I can say the next day, well, now that doesn't apply because I feel differently. And, like, that's okay. Like, it's totally fine. And so that's the same thing when you hear people and their needs. Like, sometimes someone's needs really do feel like they're crossing a boundary and, like, you're just not able to do it. And then sometimes... You know what? Like, you have the space, and maybe it's crossing your boundary a little bit, but that doesn't mean that...
But you have the space for that flexibility today.
You have the space for the flexibility, and so you can totally be flexible with your boundaries based on what you can handle that day, as long as you communicate it.
Yeah. As long as the chart of your love and life satisfaction is graphically trending upwards.
Exactly.
You can do a little wiggle room here and there. You know, it's interesting because also we talked about trust, and I want to talk about how trust relates to respect, and respect relates to self-respect and admiration. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into that right after this. Hi, everybody. It's me, Hannah Hart, talking to you through your ear holes. Listen up, kids. There is only a handful of days. I'm talking 4 days left in the sale of this amazing, incredible thing. What thing is it? It's a plushie. It's a plushie. It's a tiny little companion. It's a friend to all. It's someone you can take with you on any adventure you seek to go to, whether it's just getting out of your bed and moving to the couch. Carry this little heart o' mine with you wherever you go. So head to my socials. You can go to bit.ly/Hartopia Plush, or just look online. There's only so many days left for this thing to be funded. At the time of this recording, we're at 26%. So please, please, please buy this plushie because I love it and it deserves to have a family. Let's go back to the show. And we're back.
Great.
Oh, wow, great. So if we, you know, you said something about trust, mm-hmm. right? And I realize in this conversation, which I can't wait to talk about later this week with my therapist, saying, I had a great conversation with my wife. I need to tell you what we talked about. That I think that I'm stuttering because I'm like, oh shit. It's one of those moments. I think I really need to figure out how I've lost so much respect for my family of origin.
Mm-hmm.
And how that has negatively impacted my ability to heal my self-respect, you know? Mm. And separating out who they are from who I am.
Yeah.
Because they don't exist outside of me. They exist within me.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I think...
Like, it's not all on you. Like, if you're somebody who comes from an environment and you have family in your life, I don't know all the earbuds out there, but just to speak from the side of people who maybe don't have functional or dysfunctional or just any relationship with mm-hmm. their parents. Mm-hmm. Like, I think healing that will probably help me have more self-respect.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think separating yourself from your family of origin as a unique individual who was a child for most of this time and...
A third, not most. Okay, two-thirds.
Yeah.
That's most.
Yeah, that's most.
Okay, fine. I feel like I'm like 80 years old.
Well, yeah, I agree. Separating into your own individual is completely important.
Necessary. So if someone has been struggling with their path to self-healing, mm-hmm. maybe separating out the respect or lack of respect, because I've heard people who are burdened by, oh well, their parents are so amazing or their siblings are so amazing, and they constantly feel in comparison to the incredible family that they came from. But then I guess I'm on the other side. I'm trying to say it never occurred to me that I would have to make peace with my lack of respect.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be major when you feel that weight lifted.
That separation.
Yeah.
But that's all I have left is this attachment of, I guess, the attachment that memory brings.
Because
that's it. There's no new memories being made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just carrying them around with me everywhere I go.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't respect them. So if I'm carrying them, then I'm not respecting myself.
If you feel by carrying them that you're not respecting yourself, then that's definitely, I mean, yeah, I would ultimately just try to think about your relationships and the mutual respect in them.
Can you say that one more time?
I think ultimately it's about looking at your relationships and seeing if there's mutual respect present.
Mm.
And then that lends itself to self-respect when you're involved in a relationship.
I feel mutual respect in this relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm talking about like family relationships, friendship relationships, colleagues.
It's hard to let go of old family relationships, even if you haven't spoken to them in 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Or even if they, you know, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard.
Yeah, I think that sadness will always be present.
But the judgment doesn't have to be.
No.
And caring, yeah, it comes down to respect. I'll bring this into therapy, but this is really interesting because I think I've been trying to create ways to have respect for people whose values I don't share and who morally, right, fundamentally, I don't respect.
Right.
But I don't need to respect them.
No.
And respecting myself might in fact mean like detaching that.
Right.
Hmm. So self-esteem, eh? What are other ways?
So self-esteem. So as a kid, did you feel like you had self-esteem?
As a kid, I felt like an alien.
Mm.
I was so different from, like, as a kid, did I have self-esteem? I didn't have self-awareness, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or I had so much. I didn't think about anything. I don't know. How do we define I guess no. How do we define self-esteem?
We self-love and self-respect.
No.
And trust.
No.
Yeah.
Sadly, unfortunately. As a kid, I mean.
Were you bullied as a kid?
No. But I was neglected.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it starts really early. Like, I have, like, my earliest memories of self-harm begin as a child.
Because
I hated myself, you know?
Yeah.
So it's tough stuff. But so as a kid, no, yeah. I didn't particularly.
So you didn't particularly.
No, but I do have a fundamental desire to survive, to live and be loved, to become worthy of it. To become the people in the narrative that I loved.
Yeah.
The heroes.
The heroes.
Yeah. And so I think that's where a very powerful but no longer useful mechanism came into place, which was using morality and action and compassion and kindness, mm-hmm, and goodness and patience as a way to be worthy of esteem.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound necessarily wrong. I think that that's a great way to act in the world.
Yeah, but it's not enough. It's not ever. It's not. It's a Band-Aid.
It is.
It's a Band-Aid that could become toxic because it's no longer necessary.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So it's like
wearing old wrappings.
It's kind of the codependent.
My identity is derived from the way you perceive me.
Exactly.
Which comes up in our life on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And you're so patient and so loving and so kind to me because you let me get this sentence out of my head. I'm like, sorry, the story I'm telling myself is that you hate me right now? And you're like, no, I really don't. And I'm like, right, cool. I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but I'm going to get there, babe.
No, I know you will.
Because I'm trending up.
I want you to feel the self-esteem that you deserve to feel, you know, like just good about yourself.
And I think where I'm at in my work is that I've created the space in which that will go, you know, because you fill it up with so much toxicity, so many, you know, unhealthy patterns, right? Friendship patterns, work patterns, thought patterns, mm-hmm, right? And so I've spent since, you know, my little hiatus time really fucking cutting the crap out of my, like, really, yeah, parsing it down to what is healing, helpful, good, kind, loving, reciprocal to me.
Yeah.
And that by removing that toxic stuff,
mm-hmm,
I've made space in which I'll put the self-love.
Yeah.
In my work in therapy through EMDR.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan. But it took 2 years. I mean, right, just speaking to anybody who comes from like these adverse backgrounds, like, you know, loving yourself is hard if you don't have anywhere to put it.
Yeah. No, That's very true. Because what would you, yeah.
Where do you put it?
Where do you put it?
Where do you put it if you've got, you're like, well, how am I going to learn to love myself when I've got this relationship, this friendship, this work, this, that, this, 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 that, this, that? Like, sometimes carving out the space comes first.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been my experience thus far.
Yeah. I was thinking a little bit about what you were saying earlier and like, what's the difference between self-esteem and narcissism? And I was like, well, what is missing there? And I think it's like being humble. You know, like you can have a high self-esteem, but you can also be a humble person, which I think being humble is a very good attribute because it doesn't mean that you lack confidence or self-esteem. It's just that you are being respectful of everyone around you and you're not, and you're realizing that other people might not.
Yeah. Yeah. I looked it up also.
Oh, okay.
Just now.
Cool.
And I think it's the awareness that another person's life has nothing to do with you.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So that's why you can't derive your self-esteem from people's responses.
Exactly.
Because I feel like that's walks the generational path to narcissism. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's why I feel like humans are constantly kind of doing this like expanding, retracting thing. Right. And yeah, we can't derive our source of self-worth from others.
No.
Because we then devalue both others and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Wow. Yeah. This is some real shit.
This is some real shit right here.
And you know what else is some real shit?
What?
This break, and we're going to be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
And we're back. Peep. That's my nickname for you, wife, just in case somebody didn't know that. Peep, tell me, what are some things that help boost your self-esteem? How can you tell when you're not doing the daily machinations? How do you know when you're like, uh-oh, my self-esteem could use a little bit of an uptick? Like, does mm-hmm. that happen? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, like, it's very healthy and natural to be humbled, you know, to you have high self-esteem, you have confidence, and then maybe something happens where it ticks you down a notch and you're like, oh, I need to rebuild my confidence. I need to rebuild my self-esteem. So what I do is I focus on things that I enjoy doing.
Mm.
So, you know, working out really helps with my self-esteem, and it's not something, you know, working out and feeling strong doesn't happen overnight. And that's the important thing to remember. It's just like showing up, being there, giving it your best, like actually just doing what, you know, doing whatever the routine is, getting through it boosts my self-esteem because I'm like, oh, like I can do this. I can get through it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's just even going on a walk, you know, like if I'm not really feeling up to doing other things, setting easy goals for myself to accomplish, mm-hmm. you know, like things that are
watching copious amounts of reality TV and being like, phew,
I got to put my hours in. I got to check off the list. I want to know what's going on in pop culture. So I have fun things to contribute to at work, you know, like that type of thing, like gives me self-esteem. And then like hanging out with people that, fill my cup, like, that feels really good as well.
Having positive bouncing boards. Because mm-hmm. that's something also, and now There's a leaf blower outside, but we're just going to hang in there, everybody, because this is the time we have to record. And we are doing it. And c'est la vie. So thank you, earbuds, for bearing with us. Ella and I will lean extra close.
We'll lean extra close. And then the last thing would be self-care.
Wait. I had a comment on that.
Oh.
Which is why it's so important to have positive bounce boards,
mm-hmm.
like have positive reflections. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, you know that phrase, misery loves company?
Mm.
Like, sometimes you don't realize that the company you're keeping is the misery,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you're just like, hey, yeah, it is hard out here.
Like, if your family makes you feel bad about yourself, like,
That's
not going to help your self-esteem.
If you're not feeling good about yourself, don't go towards people that you end up feeling more bad about yourself after seeing.
I know. And it's hard because it's a compulsion. But I mean, just do things for yourself. Like, I used to really love dyeing my hair. Like, that was something when I wasn't feeling like self-confident or have high self-esteem. I would dye my hair a fun color or get my nails done.
I brush my teeth.
You brush your teeth. Yeah, that's great. You know, little, and then, or just like manageable goals, things that you can just check off, like get yourself a treat,
you know, things you can see. Like, I loved what you were saying about working out because, the relationship to the body is powerful and undeniable and not encouraged. And it's not encouraged. You have to fight to have a relationship with your body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. And it's not about you. It's about the world we live in. It's about modern day. You have to make having a relationship with your body a part of your self-care routine.
Totally.
It's not carved out for you.
No.
And that sucks. Because I remember when we started weightlifting,
mm-hmm.
I felt... When I started training with Debbie, who mm-hmm. I'm dying to get on Hanalyze This, and she's going to come on because I think she has really, really great things to say about the sacral, like the relationship between weightlifting and that kind of like your hips,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is like one of our most neglected areas, mm-hmm. like because of the way we sit and drive and blah, blah, blah. But struggling against things that were hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who usually just relied on good looks and charm and was like, I don't want to challenge myself because obviously I'll fail and mm-hmm. I can't stand it. My self-esteem is too low to even fail. Like, I can't handle trying because I can't handle failing.
You know what? That's such a good point. Learning to fail and being okay with it is so important to self-esteem.
It's crucial. You have to be able to fail. And for me, going into weightlifting and strength training
mm-hmm.
helped me learn that because she would be like, do it 15 times. And then I'd get to like 8 or 9 and literally unable to keep going. And she's like, cool, that's muscle failure. That's what we're going for. Like, that's the strength building.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, so just keep trying to lift it. And I'm like, I'm not getting to that 90 degree.
Mm.
And she's like, that's okay. You're trying, like, that mm-hmm. 45 is now where you're at.
Yeah.
And just that, flexibility.
Flexibility
and failure. Maybe that's the name of this episode.
Yes. Yeah. And then for me, I get to 8. I put them down. I take 30 seconds, jump back in there. You know, like.
You get to 8 reps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we have different strategies.
It's just like. Yeah, but at the same time, you're like, oh, we can do 15. Great. I can do 15. I can take breaks. I can get there. You know, like it's not about perfection at all.
No. I think my next step is taking breaks.
Yeah.
I think right now I'm at, it's okay to be like, this is imperfect.
Yeah.
But I do want to get to taking breaks. It's so funny, these mechanisms that come into play when you're working with your body
mm-hmm.
because they are like directly aligned with the things I struggle with in my life,
you know? Yeah.
Trying with the ability to fail.
Yeah.
With the capacity to fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The capacity for failure.
I mean, I failed so many times at so many different things and it's gotten easier and easier and easier. You know, it's like in various sports, in career stuff, in school, like, you know,
and trying to learn linear algebra in like a day.
I mean,
but that's not even failure. That's just the process.
But like, I'm talking like you're in like a sports competition and you make the mistake that your team loses by, like, you picking yourself back up and saying this doesn't define me is one of the most important things.
God.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just clapped and it was really loud. Ella, I love you. It is such a treat having you here on Hanalyze This.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here. This is our allotted podcasting time, but if you want to keep talking, I'm happy to.
I think we said all that can be said.
I think that we said all that can be said for now. Mm-hmm. If you want to look at pictures of my wife, I guess you can find her on Instagram, but you can mostly find her on my TikTok and my socials. No, where do you want
you
me?
You can find me at Hey Ella, HEYYY on all platforms.
Yeah, HEYYYELLA mm-hmm. on all platforms. You can find me at Harto, as I'm sure you know. And that's pretty much it. This is thank you so much for listening to this episode of Hanalyze This. If you haven't yet, please subscribe, please like, and you know what? Comment, give this podcast a rating. Why not? It's a great show. Thank you, earbuds, and I'll talk to you next week. Say bye, honey.
Bye.